Hello, it's Kate here from Womankind, wishing you a warm welcome to the Cyclical Living Unwrapped podcast, where we explore the gifts and challenges of cyclical life with experts in the field of menstruation, perimenopause, and cyclical living. And today I have the great pleasure of talking to Hannah B. Burton. And this is, in Hannah's words, this is her her bio, unless you want to read it yourself.
No, go ahead, Kate. You can read it.
Personally, I really hate listening to my bio, and I hate saying my bio. So I'm really happy to do it for you.
Thank you.
So it's Hannah says, despite being a healthy nutritional therapist and NLP practitioner myself, I continually suffered from a number of cycle issues, including PMS, ovarian cysts, pelvic inflammatory disease, and precancerous cells in the lining of my womb. Working on supporting my own menstrual cycle challenges, I found living cyclically was the best way to optimize my health and well-being. I then went on to train as a menstrual cycle coach with Cyclical School. Is that Claire Baker?
No, Gemma Lee.
Lee School. With this additional knowledge, I birthed Fempowered into the world, a holistic 360 approach to women's health and well-being through food, emotional intelligence, and menstrual cycle syncing. Whoa, go Hannah!
Thank you.
And you just told me that you have a full-time job and you're studying as well.
Yes. So I do have a full-time job in the background or in the foreground.
My
business. My business. And then I'm actually taking on some more cyclical training. So I've just started my natural contraception and fertility awareness educator training through Cyclical School, which is like an additional layer to the menstrual cycle coaching. Because I love it, and I wanted to offer more to my clients. And yeah, I don't think this subject, cyclical living, is a bit like when you start uncovering it, you're like, oh my God, there's so much to learn. There's so much to understand, and it's just fascinating. So I absolutely love it. And I love that you're doing this podcast and sharing even more with your audience. So thank you.
Well, let's get into our first question. So we'll start with summer, because that's an easy in. So Hannah, what's your summer superpower?
I loved this question. And actually, I'm an ex-performer originally. That was my first life. So I like to kind of think of my seasons as almost characters as well. And summer is definitely my inner Beyoncé phase. So I harness my inner Beyoncé. My confidence is definitely high. And I don't have so much doubt. So because of that, I kind of think clearly. I can second guess myself naturally as a person. But in my summer, I think clearly. I know what I want. I'm focused. I'm driven. Just like Beyonce, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there with like joy and with swag and with energy. So that's my superpower. Yeah.
Sorry, I can't reach.
So
that's the summer.
I almost feel like I have a music video playing in my head, like during my summer phase. I'm like walking down the street, like with my Beyonce playing in my own head, like I'm in my own music video. I am the star of my own life and my own show. And I just think that that's amazing.
So what trips you up then? I mean, so life can be Beyonce for a short time, but.
Yeah, but because I'm Beyonce and I'm full of this confidence, I have a tendency to just say yes to everything. So I'm a very much like, yeah, I can do that. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, you want to see me? Yes. And then I soon realize that I kind of overdo it somewhat. And that then has a knock-on effect to the rest of my seasons if I'm pushing myself way, way, way out there, taking on everything. And sometimes I take on things that are for future Hannah, and at that point in my future self, maybe that's not the season I want to be doing that thing in. But in my inner summer, in my confident Beyonce phase, I've said, yes, I can do it. So I have to always double check myself. I'm not just riding the high, as it were, and actually being a little bit more practical and logical with it too, because I feel like my logic and practicality goes out the window because I'm just full of energy and joy. So that can sometimes trip me up.
Yeah. And don't forget, Beyonce has people, right, to take care of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have my private chef, my PT, and my dresser to help me with everything. So yeah, you have to monitor if you know how much capacity you have. I love that I have all this extra confidence and energy, but I do have to monitor that, and otherwise it can trip me up if I'm not careful.
And moving into your autumn self, what supports you in autumn, Hannah?
So am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Swearing is to be encouraged.
Okay, brilliant.
As much as you like, bring it on.
But I definitely have an itty bitty shitty committee that resides in my head. And in my inner autumn, this can start getting really loud. Mm-hmm. And so what I try and do to support myself is actually have a little bit more curiosity and ask questions. Instead of just feeling this itty bitty shitty committee and taking it, you know, my self-doubt, my inner critic, taking that seriously, listening to it, I think to myself, okay, is this how I really feel? Yes, no. Will it be how I feel tomorrow? And what do I need right now to feel my best self? So I definitely get really curious in my inner autumn. And I have to admit, I'm not one to journal all the time, but I find that I'm the most likely to journal in my inner autumn. I'm like the most curious. And that, yeah, that's, I think that's what it supports me, is being curious rather than just listening to the itty bitty shitty committee, which for a lot of my life dictated my life.
I just want to kind of create a pause there, because this capacity to be curious and to question the itty bitty shitty committee, which actually is, that's two brilliant phrases we've come up with in the last 10 minutes. The other one, in case for listeners, is a flitch, which is
flitch.
A flick of a switch. Yeah, when you're really quickly quicking a flitch. Anyway. Sorry, back to the shitty committee. So when it requires you to have some objectivity, there's a good mother in there, there's some good parenting saying, is that really true? But it also requires, I imagine, that something else has to happen, like a pause, mm-hmm. like slowing down, like something else has to be in there for the committee not to take over.
Yeah, you have to allow yourself time to reflect, because the itty bitty shitty committee, once you reflect on it, you're like, oh no, okay. And you can name that itty bitty shitty committee. As I said, you know, I've got my summer phase, who's my Beyonce. I have a name for my itty bitty shitty committee person. I won't say it in case it's any of your listeners' names, because I don't want to put anybody else, because it's just a name I chose. But actually naming it and then being like, okay, that's just the hormonal effect of my emotion right now. It's not necessarily me. And that really helps me. But yes, you need that pause and that reflection in order to do that. Because if you don't during my autumn phase, it can take over. And then that's where I really doubt myself. I want to give up. I don't have the confidence to do what I've planned and what I've birthed in summer and spring. And without time to pause and reflect. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time, because as I said, I'm a busy person. And I think in our day and age, most of us are juggling a number of things, whether that's work, family, friends, social life, health, well-being. So we're all juggling, but actually prioritizing to take a moment to journal or to reflect or to pause, to question with some curiosity. I think that's where compassion comes in. And for a long time, my itty bitty shitty committee took over because I didn't have the self-compassion. I know we talk about self-love a lot, but I think that can sometimes be a bit too much for someone who feels like they don't have that capacity. But self-compassion feels like a good midway point to get you there. And I feel like autumn is a great time for your self-compassion. Mm. Yeah.
Essential.
Mm.
What does rest, moving more into winter now, what does rest look like for you?
So this is really interesting as someone who's like an A-type personality, who's go, 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 go. I'm very much in my masculine, I'm a doer. So I had to come up with a toolbox of different ways to rest, because I can find that my innate self will be like, that's lazy. That's, you know, that's luxurious, that's lazy. But actually having a variation of different tools, different moments to help me in different ways. So I do love meditation, which is obviously a great tool for mindfulness. I do it slightly differently to some, though. I'm not your typical meditator who either sits cross-legged or on a chair. For me, I like to meditate and I get my best out of it if I sit with my butt up against a wall, my legs up the wall, with my legs high, and then I'm supported. I normally do it on my bed, so my legs are up against the headboard and I'm lying on my bed. And it's this very strange position if anybody ever catches me doing that. But I find that position very calming, very nurturing. And then doing a 10-minute guided meditation, that is a beautiful moment of rest for me. And I do it in 10 minutes. And so it is short and quick, but I find that really nurturing, really nourishing and rejuvenating. And I've tried meditating in many different ways, but I randomly got in that position one day just intuitively. And for me, it works. So I'll offer that to your listeners as well, as if they can't meditate.
I think that is so helpful. It's just so helpful to hear, because actually, I don't think hardly anybody sits there cross-legged, or it's like the minority. I think most of us practice our mindfulness or our meditation in different ways. And it takes time, just as you say, to find something that works for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, you sharing that really gives us all permission just to try different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And rest as well. Like, I have a dog, and one of the most beautiful things is going out in nature and walking her. And I find if I really need a restful walk, I just don't take any tech with me. There are days and times where I want to listen to a podcast whilst I'm walking and I want that distraction. But when I really need that rest, I need to re-nourish myself, I definitely find no phone, no earphones, nothing, and just taking in the sounds of nature and being very present with where I am, how I'm walking, hearing my breath. There's a difference. So I walk my dog 3 times a day. But when I'm taking a restful walk, that's the difference. It's being more mindful, more present, and having no distractions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's another tool in my toolkit for rest as well.
Wonderful. And again, really good to hear that rest does not necessarily mean lying down.
No.
Nothing.
And it can. I mean, here's another Hannah term for you. I love a Hannah Nana nap.
Updating my vocabulary.
Yes, I know. I could write my own dictionary. I do love a Hannah Nana nap, I'm not going to lie. I find those wonderful too. You've got to time them right though, because too long you do wake up groggy, too short and you're still tired. But no, I do still nap, and I love that, and I encourage that, especially if you're on your bleed and you need a bit more sleep, because there's a difference between sleep and rest. But definitely having other tools in my toolkit for rest is really important to me.
Lovely, thank you. And tell me about spring. First of all, how do you know when you're in spring?
So I actually was making some notes ahead of this recording, and I realized that if I'm not really listening and checking in with myself, I can find it difficult to really notice the gear changes between my seasons if I'm not being present and monitoring them. So as I mentioned to you before we hit record, sometimes I do get so busy and I do the basic tracking on my cycle tracker, but I sometimes don't have the awareness to track my season with it. And so this was a really good question. How do I know when I'm in my spring? For me, I definitely feel a rise in energy and a rise in confidence. So the itty bitty shitty committee like kind of goes quieter, the volume on her goes down, and the volume on my more confident self comes up. But I wrote down, when I was thinking about the questions that you had asked me, I actually wrote down that I need to be careful not to shoot out of the gate like a racehorse. Oh, I finished my bleed, that's it, I'm in my spring, I'm off. Because I can sometimes do that. And so I find that when I do that, I can then almost have this kind of like day or two of fluctuation where I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm energy and I feel like I've got more confidence. Oh, no, hang on a minute, I don't. And what's going on? So I feel like if I've had at least 2 days on the trot or 3 days on the trot where I've noticed a steady increase in my kind of optimism, my energy, that's how I'm like, ah, okay, now I've transitioned to spring. And it's not so clear, it's not like a flitch, which I was trying to say earlier, a flick of a switch. You don't go from winter and suddenly flick your switch over and be like, oh, now I'm in my summer. It's a transition. And so I find tracking my cycle helps, but also not just tracking it, reviewing it and having that moment of reflection to understand it. Because yes, days can merge, especially when you're busy and juggling. So it can sometimes be hard to see that seasonal change. And I also don't think it's as obvious as what people make out sometimes. And that's okay. Every person is different and every cycle is different for each person. Sometimes it's really obvious to me that I suddenly have an increase in my productivity, in my energy, in my libido. And then I'm like, okay, I'm hitting my spring. And sometimes I go from my winter and I don't really notice it so much until I'm ovulating. So I think that just having awareness for oneself and knowing that there isn't this textbook of like, on this day, you will feel this way. And this is what to look out for, because everybody is different, and every cycle within yourself is different. So yeah, I think I notice it more if I kind of notice the kind of increase over at least 2 to 3 days, and then I'm like, oh, okay. Otherwise it can be a bit up and down if I've come out of the gate too fast, like a racehorse. I would say that that's how I notice my spring.
And what day of your cycle might that be? If it's a cycle where you wait 2 or 3 days and you see a steady increase in your optimism and energy, as you said.
Yeah.
What sort of cycle day might that be?
For me, I tend to bleed for 3 days. But I tend to feel my winter for about 5 to 7 days, even though I'm still not bleeding.
Yeah.
So I would say I notice in the last, say like days 5, 6, and 7 is how I'm transitioning out of my winter and into my spring. Normally by day 7, 8, I notice, oh, okay, the last 2 days, if I look back, I've actually felt that kind of like steady increase without a dip again.
Right.
So for me, my bleed is just 3 days naturally for me. That's my cycle, but I find my winter goes on a bit more. So that's what I'm saying. If I finish my bleed and I think, oh, I'm in my spring now, I don't have that. I'm not on my period anymore. I should be in my spring. It's not always the case. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that the colors and the three dimensions of all this amazing, vibrantly lived cycle experiencing that we're sharing here in this podcast series is just so helpful.
Yeah, I agree.
It is so different and so individual.
And our bodies are so sensitive to subtle changes. So you might notice in yourself like a change from one cycle to another because a life experience happened, whether that was a great thing or a stressful thing. You know, our bodies are sensitive. There's no, and I learned this in my biochemistry part of my nutritional therapy degree, is this idea of homeostasis is ebb and flowing always. Always homeostasis is the peak, is the optimal, right? But we never get there. We're always ebbing and flowing. And I feel like in our day and age, we look for switches, we look to flick switches, but actually there's never a clear, you've changed gears here, you've changed gears there, there's a switch that you've flicked over to there. It is this kind of like ever so nuanced, sensitive ebb and flow that transitions. And understanding that and having awareness for that and then kind of noticing that for oneself is actually really empowering, because it makes you realize that there's nothing wrong with you, or it helps you to realize if there has been something noticeably different. Oh, hang on a minute. This is worth speaking to someone about because of this difference. Because sometimes as women, our health isn't taken seriously by the powers that be in the medical industry, because they are, you know, predominantly male. The industry is predominantly researched on males too. You know, women's medicine is much, much less researched, much less funded. So having the confidence in yourself, knowing your ebbs and flows, and then you have that kind of superpower to be like, no, this is my normal. No matter what you say, this is my normal and this is not my normal. So let me go and seek out some advice or some help or some support to help me get back to my normal. So I think that's why I called what I do fem-powered, because I want every female to get empowered by their own body and knowing themselves and No one can tell you what you should or shouldn't feel, or what day this should be happening, because nobody knows exactly your biochemistry. Your biochemistry is fluctuating all the time, and only you know how you feel. So, sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
Actually, it wasn't a tangent. It was really helpful to hear, and I would love people to know more about your work. So, where do we find you? Where do you hang out? And what's your latest offerings? How do you
work? Thank you. So I do have a website. If anybody wants to check it out, it's hannahbburton.com. So everything is on there, and I'm most prevalent on social media on Instagram. But I have to admit, I have a love-hate relationship with social media. So what I'm doing more and more is actually going out and doing public speaking events and trying to get out and actually meet people. I'm an in-person person for sure. I find speaking to a void of this social media not so good. So, but you can find me @ Hannah B. Burton on social media too. And at the moment, I have a free menstrual cycle tracker that people can download. And that's a PDF. And I think that gets people, first of all, noting things, which is knowledge is power. I like to say people should be their own detectives of their own body. And you want to write down your clues. This is what's going on in your body. And a lot of people might want to use an app, and that's great. However, I'm an advocate of pen to paper. Reason being, you create a lot more neurological connections when you actually write something down versus if you're swiping. I mean, our brains don't know if we're tapping, swiping, sending someone a WhatsApp, doing our online shop, booking a flight abroad, or swiping right on Tinder.
I don't know either.
Yeah. So actually, if you put something into an app, you probably won't remember it. Whereas if you write it down pen to paper, you'll know. Like, I know I'm on day 20 of my cycle today, and I know that because I write it down, and I'm a bit more present with it then because I've written it down and I've taken the information in. So that's, I wanted to provide that for people so they can download that for free. And it actually comes with 5 days of supportive emails to teach people why to track, how to track, and what to track, so that it actually gives them that free supportive tool that they can start cracking on with right away. And then I do have bubbling in the background, an online group program. So if people want to know about that, follow me and I shall publish that in future, because it's not quite ready. I've written it, but I'm still bubbling away with some more details. But that will be something that comes out either the end of this year or early next, which will be a supportive group program, which does support over 8 weeks through menstrual cycle learning, education, and then also mindset and nutrition, and kind of a whole fempowerment experience that then hopefully people will feel like they've got such a strong toolkit to take away with them. They can get through anything in life post that, plus do it with a community. So there's like-minded friends, because I think that's what's really needed as well as women. We want to know that we've got a sisterhood, we've got people behind us. So that's TBC to be coming out soon.
That's very, very exciting. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for sharing your personal insight and wisdom here. It's just so brilliant to hear how your seasons are and your version of being you. And I'm sure that it will inspire so many people to take care of themselves and to collect the clues, as you say.
Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you for putting this on and for gathering speakers to talk, because yes, it's so important. So thank you too.
And if you're curious about your inner seasons and you're navigating perimenopause, you might enjoy our, the promotion stuff. The dogs bark. I forget what I'm talking about. Everything goes to pot. What I'd like to invite you to come and check out is Perimenopause Unwrapped, which is our self-paced online course. And you can find all about that at womankind.co.uk. That's woman-kind.co.uk. And we'd be delighted to welcome you there. And if you have any questions, you can contact me and Leora through our site, Womankind, or there are details in the show notes for the email. Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Kate.